Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Look at these Raider fans. Every time I do, it makes me laugh. Every time I do, it makes me laugh. Yo, I got something funky going on with my voice, but not as funky as fucking Raider fans losing. I did a prediction 2 weeks ago, wrote it on the site, arrowheadaddict.com. I said, bold predictions, AFC West, from here on out, Raiders will win one game for the whole rest of the fucking season. They won that first game, and I got personal emails that are like, you in your mom basement, you suck. You, me Raider fan, you suck. It was like crazy. And you know what? You still only won one game. Fuck you, Raiders. It's a rivalry still. I'm here for it. Every time I listen to that Nickelback song or that photograph, it makes me laugh at all you loser Raiders fans. Sorry, we're 2 minutes in, and I'm still ranting. Sterling. How are you, my friend? Welcome to the show.
Good, dude. I love it, by the way. I love your animosity towards Raiders fans. What do you
hate them? Always will, always have. Yeah.
For Black Friday, you know how like normal people get like Christmas presents or clothes or items, you know, because they're on sale. Do you think Raiders fans get like black eyeliner to look like Derek Carr to reminisce about those days, like those spiky shoulder pads, you know? Shanks. Do you think they go and buy some shanks, or I guess they probably already have those made, I would assume. Ankle monitors, you know, because you know they're gonna have to be on house arrest. You know that, so I assume that's what Raiders fans went out and bought.
Are you allowed to go get like a Bill Romanowski replacement bandana to cry in, or do you use the same one over and over? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, if any Raiders fans want to chime in and let us know. You know what it is? Is they get a bus and they drive around for one quarter because that's all they have. They left after the first quarter to drive around. They didn't realize the second, third, and fourth quarter. They got absolutely smoked.
Just love it. Folks, we've obviously got some Raiders thoughts. Sorry in advance for my voice. To explain, last week, I spent the holidays in New York. Sterling, I'll tell you this. I spent the holidays in New York. My wife loves parades, loves anything to do with a parade. It's kind of crazy. I didn't like watching marching band when my friends were in marching band when we were in high school.
Hey, bleep you, pal.
Sorry. You know, it's like they throw kids candy to kids and it lands on the street. And then my son picks it up and eats it and gets like Ebola or something. I don't know. Anyway. But you know, we thought, hey, we sent my son, to his grandparents' house. We went to New York City for the week, had a killer week, and I love New York City. But Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade crowd, New York City, is like New York folds in on itself. They predicted 3 million people stood there on that route. Like just that route, 3 million people just crammed. When you left the hotel, you like within minutes, you couldn't even tell. Like you couldn't move in any direction. It was crazy. So of course, I'm going to come home with whatever the virus of the month club is in the world today, because I'm like, you know, basically making out with everyone from all over the world, you know. Anyway, so
I don't think that works if you tell your wife that you were basically making out with everyone.
She was too, you know. Hey, we're here for it. So yeah, you know, we had a great week. I came home with this. I'm in recovery mode. The voice is going, but the passion is not. We hate the Raiders. We got a lot to talk about here. We got a lot to talk about the Raiders game and wrapping that up. We're going to be talking about a new offensive core and some key guys coming up. Speaking of Nickelback, the Chiefs just elevated maybe one there. We'll talk about the latest Chiefs transactions even from this afternoon in just a second. I want to shift over to you though, my friend. You got something for our people? You got something for me? Are you doing what? All right.
I do have stuff for people. Don't be sleeping on Sleeper Daily Fantasy. Sleeper hosts daily fantasy prop games that you can compete for a chance to win big cash prizes. The game is simple. For each contest, you are given a pool of props for upcoming games across different sports. You pick whether each prop will be over or under the given total. You can choose up to 8 different props for a chance at a bigger win. If you wanted to join in on the action, we've got you covered. Sign up with our promo code FANSIDED2 today to receive a deposit match up to $100 using code FANSIDED2 when signing up. Not only gives you the great reward, but it also directly supports our podcast. So make sure to use promo code FANSIDED2 when you sign up. Offers available to new customers who are 18 plus, 19 plus in New England, and 21 plus in Massachusetts, and physically present in valid states. Please remember to always game responsibly. Check the episode description for the full terms of the offer.
Nice. Nice. You're looking good, sir, but you stopped feathering your hair.
Well, it's not. I don't actually feather it. That was just hopping out of the shower. That's just absolutely nothing. I got a vicious dog over here. Look how vicious this 30-pound dog is.
Dude, he feathers his hair.
Dude, this guy's feathered. Look, Bailey. Look, dude. He kind of looks. Yeah.
You got to move your camera. Anyway. Yeah. By the way, I love some of the early comments here. Phantom 1090 says, Raiders Nation commitment to excrement. Which I don't know. I've never read that, but like, I'm here for that one. Thanks for the good laugh. Angry Drunken German says, I own the basement, and right now there's Chargers fan living in it. Right on. And then Flapjack City reminded me, I'd forgotten about this. Remember that someone planted, the construction worker planted Kansas City Chiefs flags underneath Allegiant Stadium when it was being built, you know, which, you know, depending on how superstitious you are or whatever, I just love it. We're 4-0 there. We averaged 16.3 points per win, which we were undefeated there already. So the average margin of victory was a 3-score game, 16.3 points per game. On Sunday, 17 points. We just keep rolling. Sorry, Oakland. And then, by the way, TPT Chiefs Football Podcast, thank you. We have a great super chat here. Real quick. Thanks to you for the super chat, and thanks to anyone, you know, we're just coming off Thanksgiving. We're all just so thankful. I'm in that mood right now where we got Christmas stuff even right now as I speak. I think they're decorating. It's just that great time of year where you just, you take stock of, man, we have a lot to be thankful for. And one of the things that we're thankful for here, both Sterling, myself, and the whole team here, we're just thankful for any of you who read and hang out here on the podcast. But TPT says, what's up, boys? Quick question. Although the Chiefs offense struggled this year, is this the easiest playoffs opponents we'll have in the Mahomes era? Boy, that is a kill. One, that's a killer question.
Yeah.
Two, Sterling, what do you think of that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I'll get to the offense and the defense. We're going to talk about all that a little bit later on. But as far as just the playoff schedule, yeah, no Joe Burrow and Bengals, right? So that's obviously one off of the list. While the Bengals might not always be the most talented team, they always play the Chiefs very, very tough. The Bills are going to sneak in at best. Like, they're going to potentially sneak in. I don't want them to be the seventh seed if they do, because that would mean, I guess, no, you, that wouldn't matter. I guess you would want to be the seventh seed because the Chiefs, I'm assuming, get the one seed, right? That's the way I'm breaking this down. But the Chiefs get the two. You don't want the Bills first round, because as much as I don't like the way the Bills are playing this season, they're still a very dangerous team, right? They're a very dangerous team. But again, yeah, and I agree, Phantom, you take no one for granted. I understand that. But again, this is hypothetical here, right? Hypothetically speaking, you know, Jacksonville, I don't think, is a great team. Miami, I think, as the Chiefs have shown, they have their warts. The Ravens, I think, are probably the most difficult team, but we know Lamar Jackson, if he even plays in the playoffs, that's also a big if right there, has not been great. So until he does it, I would like to see it first. You know, the Broncos might get in. I don't know, man. That's a really good question. I'd probably say, yeah, the scoring has been down in the NFL as a whole, so it makes it look like this. I will say the year the Titans got the one seed, that also might play into the end of the equation there, because the Titans were not good that year. That was the most fraudulent one seed I've ever seen. So that's the only other year I can make a case for.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, the Ravens right now, I think, technically own the number one seed.
Correct, because they've not had the bye yet.
Correct. But listen to this schedule. We're going to talk about Raiders game here in a second. But what do you think of this? If you're the Ravens, here's what's coming up. The Rams visit you this Sunday with Sean McVay. Then you go on the road to face the Jags. Then you go on the road to face the 49ers.
Yeah.
Then the Dolphins come to town on New Year's Eve. And then you host the Steelers in the final game of the year. There's not a single gimme in that. And there's a few downright scary opponents. I mean, I would not want Niners and Dolphins back to back, let alone, and the bookends there are Jags and Steelers. Like, they can't win out, right? Like, that's just an insane schedule.
Yeah, and the Chiefs have already played their most difficult stretch of this season. While they still do have the Bills, I believe they still have the Bengals as well, if I'm not mistaken, and that's obviously the Bengals without Joe Burrow. Schedule is going to lighten up tremendously for Kansas City, right? The hard part was obviously the Eagles and everything, but that was off of a bye. That's kind of a bummer you lose that game, but again, that was to an NFC opponent, so that doesn't really hurt you quite the same. Yeah, man, the Chiefs are in a really good spot, and again, the reason why I said the Ravens defense is the best in the NFL right now by pretty much any single metric you look at, them or the Browns. The Chiefs are probably about three or four about most metrics, as well as the eye test. But then again, the Chiefs' one struggle has been stopping the run, and the Ravens are very good running the ball. Obviously, they're better passing than in years past, but if the Chiefs have a quote-unquote weakness defensively, that would be it. While it's not as much of a weakness as in past years, because right now they're middle of the pack compared to just atrocious, that's still the one thing that you could probably point out and say the Ravens might have an advantage there. But I will say Nick Bolton will be back by then, and that is a huge difference.
Love that. Love that. I can't wait for him to get back. Let's look at this. Let's look at this Raiders game, my friend. Our whole podcast today is titled after this guy, Rashee Rice. Look, you, me, my mom, my socks, whatever. Everyone's talking about the fact that, you know, look, this guy deserves more targets. On Sunday, the results were there. They were startling. He led the team in targets, and he put up all the numbers. I want to know what you're thinking in the aftermath of Sunday's game. about Rice and his like production going forward?
I guess he played the most snaps for wide receiver last week. Oh yeah, it was Rashee Rice with 40. He led wide receivers with 40, which is 67% of the snap count share. I would still like to actually see a little bit more, but I can't complain that much when we're seeing the production and we're seeing his usage rise, right? Yeah. That's all we want. Again, Andy Reid is still going to, in his system, slowly bring along the rookies, right? We understand this. I still want to see more, but he's at least finally starting to unleash Rice. He's using him on the outside as well in the slot. He's actually using Rice to take advantage of wherever the mismatch is defensively. And he was used tremendously in this game. He had one legit drop, one that was questionable. I don't know if he was really going anywhere anyways. It was more of a bad throw on Mahomes in my mind. Yeah. But again, you know, even if you get a drop from Rashee Rice, you got to go back to him. He's so electric. He makes plays happen. The yak ability is there. The power is there. He's pretty good finding the soft spots in his zone, which is really interesting as a rookie. Typically, that's a skill you garner as you play a lot and you become a grizzled vet in the NFL, right? But he still has the athleticism to couple with the smarts, and that is a huge thing to have. I will point out, you don't want to pay $11 million per year for a blocking wide receiver, but get MVS credit because he helped spring open that touchdown for Rashee. And if you watch that play from the All-22, guess who was wide open? Yeah. Would have had a walk-in touchdown. It was MVS. But Mahomes, based on that play, was not going to be able to go through his progressions to see MVS on the blown coverage. It is what it is, right? Unless you would have had 7 seconds back there in the pocket, you were never going to see him. So he throws to Rashee Rice. And instead of MVS pouting, instead of MVS saying, that should be my ball, I had a walk-in touchdown, how many times have you seen guys kind of throw their head back, like almost in disgust, like, dang it, what did he do? Went right there, blocked a guy, walk-in touchdown for Rashee. Again, I'm not saying that you want that for $10 million a year, but again, give credit where credit's due. That is the little things that great teams typically possess. But Rashee Rice, man, I want to see that go higher and higher and higher, because just like Creed, he takes his team higher.
He has brought us out of our own prison. He is
with one last breath.
I knew it. I knew this was coming.
With one last breath, I'll be screaming, give me more Rashee Rice with arms wide open.
Wide open. I knew that was coming. So the thing about Rashee and here, you know, as teams were gonna blanket, bracket, smother. It's like going to Waffle House and they order their Kelsey. I'll take my Kelsey smothered, covered, and buttered, or whatever you say about their hash browns. That's how defensive coordinators would cover Travis Kelsey and take him out of the game plan. And you're begging for, can anyone handle double-digit targets so that there's another reliable outlet that forces defenses to be more honest? And it felt like in one game that we saw both Pacheco, especially without McKinnon in the lineup, by the way.
Yeah.
At one point, I don't know if he finished the game that way, but at one point I looked at Pacheco, and not only was he running the ball well, but he was also catching 4 of 4 targets. Like,
he had 5. He ended up with 5 for 34.
Okay. So he wasn't even missing there, which just even goes to show the discipline he's grown in his hands. He's got good touch there. Like, what's your thought? Like, here's what I'm asking you. Your worries before the Raiders game about the playmakers, how does that compare to your thoughts overall on the playmakers now? Like, before it looked like Kelsey and please, please, please. And then now it's like, oh, do we have an identifiable core? 3 cogs that are like, these are our guys. And did it really happen in a week?
It's a good question. That's a really good one. And I'm hoping, like Tom Hood says, I hope Andy has seen the light and hopefully he's not blinded by the light and revved up like a, you know, Man for Man's Earth band. Good pull right there. Had to get the other one in there into the atmosphere. But no, I hope they did. And I think what they have, and they've always had this, they've had some decent playmakers, and I firmly believe that. I do think at times the scheme and what they've had has not meshed, if that makes sense. This was the first time where I think everyone was firing on all cylinders, and they put the players in the best spot to succeed. And I say that in they let the guys, because the wide receiver core was shrunk down because no McColl, no Kadarius, get their feet wet. They actually used Rashee Rice. They actually used Sky Moore more. Like, I know Sky Moore's been getting a lot of snaps, but they got the ball in Sky's hand, and we saw Sky Moore is a playmaker when the ball gets into his hands. He got Marcus Peters cut. I mean, seriously, he got Marcus Peters cut on that play because he got benched after that and then cut the next day. Yes. I mean, Sky Moore, again, give credit where credit's due. I'm not going to always bash guys, and then when they do something well, just pretend it didn't happen, because Sky Moore made some plays in that game, right? Like, they got some guys who are starting to progress, and we'll see what happens with McColl, and eventually Kadarius Toney comes back. You want to see them into the fold. But Justin Watson, MVS, Snapcats down, we like that. Because, again, they kept trying to use those guys as deep ball threats, and while they are on paper, there's not been that connection all season long. So when you do that in the second half of the Eagles game, what are you expecting? Even if Mahomes throws the ball to the correct spot, those guys have not shown the ability to come down with it. At some point, like, that might be a great play call, but not when you have those wide receivers. So this game, what happened? You kind of reeled it back in. A lot of underneath. And I said this. How many bad throws did Mahomes make in this game?
Very few.
Zero. Yeah. I mean, like how many balls where it could have been intercepted? Like, the one ball you can make a case that was like a tough throw was the best throw, the one to Travis Kelce.
Yeah. I would never want him to actually throw that again. So, and yet it was beautiful.
So for me, this was almost a philosophical change. This was a change of, all right, after the first quarter, we're getting our ass kicked. Stop trying to do too much. This is not the 2018 team. You don't have those horses. Those horses, not in the stall. That's not what you have. You might have some miniature ponies, but guess what those miniature ponies can do? They can still go up and down the field. It might not be as quick, but you can still go up and down. And that's what the Chiefs did. Death by 1,000 paper cuts. They ran the ball effectively. When they needed 4 yards to pick up a first down, they got 4 yards to pick up the first down. It wasn't explosive. The longest rush was 8 yards. They had a 39-yard reception by Rashee Rice that was mostly yak, and they had two pretty big catches by Travis Kelce. That was it. They took what the defense was giving to them. They didn't get too feisty. They didn't try and do too much. Mahomes reeled it back in, and look what happened. 27 to 34, 298, two touchdowns, no interceptions, and one big win.
Yeah. And all the unanswered points. Like, they were in the hole and it didn't matter, because on paper, the talent differential, the coaching experience differential, the overall experience between the two teams, the depth, it was all there for the win. And then when they go down early, they could have even easily been down 21-0. I mean, it could have been even more laughable at that. But the Chiefs are able to do what they do because they're so much better if they can just stick to it. So I love what you're saying. I also love the fact, look, these wide receivers were never going to stay this bad. Never going to stay this bad. Like it was laughable that they were dropping the passes that they were. I'm not saying the room isn't lacking, but like, when Mahomes says, hey, look, like 99 times out of 100, he's going to make that catch. He's right about MVS, like, doing that. Like
99 seems high.
I get what you're saying, but you know, like, it's been laughable at times. Like, there have been games, literally, there have been games where I've like laughed at what I'm watching, because I just think this is like there's like a voodoo doll somewhere, and someone is just like poking Andy Reid with a needle or something, making like, they're like Ashton Kutcher's in the stands punking everyone. Because it's just like a comedy of errors. It's like, really, a penalty on top of the penalty on top of the drop, and suddenly it's 4th and 25, and then Mahomes goes back and hits him in the freaking helmet, Justin Watson, like a game ago, and you're like, we should still be converting this, and we refuse not to. So yeah, I think we saw it last game. There's gonna be a regression to the mean. I don't think the Chiefs lead the NFL in drop passes by season's end. I think there's going to be better overall play down the stretch. And we're seeing Andy Reid learn how to use his guys. Brett Veach and Andy said all along that Rashee Rice, the young guys, we're going to slowly add to what they can do. By season's end, they're going to be doing different things. We're seeing something different now in week 12 than we even did in week 10. Or 9. So yeah, I'm here for it.
And I know people are going to say it's the Raiders and their bad defense, and I get that. But again, this is a philosophical change is what I'm talking about right now.
Yeah, you're okay? Totally right.
They ran the ball. Again, it wasn't explosive plays, but effectively enough. You know, Pacheco 15 for 55. That's not great. But again, they played it well enough. This is a team that just cannot fall behind the chains. They're just not as explosive as they were a few seasons ago. They have to stop with the stupid pre-snap penalties, which is going to be an issue when you have 24 penalties apiece, or 24 penalties total between Juwan Taylor and Donovan Smith. And no, that's not an exaggeration. It's 15-9. It's 24. Like, I know Juwan Taylor's been better, but it's still about one a game. You know, it's been better because it's not two. It's down to one. Like, and Donovan Smith, again, he is what he is. But again, this is what the Chiefs are. They're not as explosive, and that's fine. You just have to understand that. And it seems to me that the Chiefs understand that now. They finally have got that to where, okay, it's not 2018. You know, it's not even last year. It's just a different beast. And now it seems like to me, hopefully, they figured it out.
Let me ask you a couple of key questions about the backfield, because I have some questions here. First of all, how would you frame Isaiah Pacheco in comparison to other NFL lead backs? Like, would you put him as a top 10, a top 15 guy? Would you? How do you rate him there? And then I have something else, too.
That's a very difficult question, because I don't think he's bad by any means, but I think we feel like he's better because he runs so physically. I think because of the way he gets those yards, it almost seems like he's getting more. Yeah. Again, his longest run was 8 yards that game. It's not like he's busting these ones off. He's a decent pass catcher, and he's been improving as a pass protector. But again, there's a decent amount of backs I would say is more talented or might be better than Isaiah. I mean, when you're going up against a lot of light boxes, at times you're almost wanting to see a little bit more, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been serviceable by it, but they've been fine. I mean, he's starting to pick up those short yard situations where he's good at, but he's no McCaffrey. I mean, he's no Kamara, Aaron Jones, Joe Mix. I mean, I don't want to start naming off a whole bunch of dudes, but probably top 20 is probably where I'd probably put him.
That feels right to me. I was asking because I saw after the game sort of this response of like, when you have a top 10 back, you need to use him more. And I was like, yeah, I'm not sure I'm there on him. I'm not sure that, I mean, I like Isaiah a lot.
Me too.
For a seventh round pick, he's an incredible find. And I'm even fine with him in the role that he is, but I'm also not like, he's not like when we had Kareem Hunt back there, he's not that when Kareem was like doing his thing and making the cover of Sports Illustrated back before Sports Illustrated started making up stories and using AI.
Say right allegedly, anyway. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Anyway. So I like him. Sean Browning says Pacheco's middle of the pack, but he is exciting to watch with all the angry runs. Yeah. I agree. He goes 2 feet underground and then 8 yards forward. I like the fact that he like does some kitty litter action or whatever he's doing in motion there and then goes forward. Stacey Smith says 12 to 15 feels right to me. I could totally see that. I think I'm leaning more toward the high teens, but you know, we're not making an official list here. I guess I just don't want to oversell him.
Yeah, and one thing we'll always say is I typically personally will value pass catching backs a little higher. Like Austin Eckler, I will value even if the run numbers aren't great. And also, let's be real, the Chargers offensive line is atrocious. Guys like Tony Pollard.
Sure.
You know, Pacheco almost to me is the anti, but same ilk as like Rashad White for Tampa.
Sure.
Complete opposite. Rashad White's not a great runner, but he's a great pass catching back, whilst I think Pacheco's kind of the opposite, but they'd probably be right around the same if you're going to do like a NFL draft again, like a redo or something like that.
Sure.
With
sure.
GMs, yeah.
Sure. Let me ask you another question here. Saying that what we did about Pacheco, which is why I set this up this way, how worried are you about an older, groin-injured Jerick McKinnon, who's now missing time down the stretch?
None at all.
Not at all.
I'm not. I mean, I just go 1 to 10, like a 2. Like if that, I guess not at all is a little bit of a hyperbole there. It's like a 2 or 3 out of 10 as far as nervousness level. I think Jerick McKinnon's a great pass protector. I really, really like Jerick McKinnon in general, but Pacheco's shown enough to at least keep me calm. They haven't used McKinnon a ton, even when he was healthy this year in those roles. That's not what he's been doing. And maybe they were saving him, which I kind of was a believer. But this is weird for me to say. Clyde's been decent filling in those 4 and 5 snaps a game. Like, Clyde's been fine.
You heard it here, folks.
No, but seriously.
I'm kidding.
But, like, from what we have seen from him ever since the last couple games, I'm not seeing as McKinnon. He's not as explosive, but, like, he's gotten thicker. I laugh seeing he looks like Eddie Lacy now. He somehow got more explosive. His best carry, the best carry of anyone on the team was the carry that got called back from Juwan.
Yeah.
They've used him as a pass catcher, getting him out there, and he's actually had some nice pass protection pickups. I'll give Clyde some credit here.
Yeah, you're right. You're right to give credit where it's due. That said, when you go back over time, over the last few years in the postseason, right? If you look at McKinnon in the postseason, if you look at Damian Williams in the postseason, when the Chiefs are facing a win or go home scenario, the offensive strategy changes and that tandem back becomes far more important than it ever was at any time during the regular season. When the Chiefs are on the ropes, that becomes a vital offensive cog for whatever reason. And those guys go for crazy yards and they become very valuable red zone targets as well, putting up significant touchdown numbers. So if that's a problem, I don't like it. And that makes me a little bit more nervous about it.
Can I give you one cause for optimism?
Yeah, of course.
One name. It's going to be weird to say. Kadarius Toney. I wonder if when the playoffs come around, that's why they started giving a little more sampling of Kadarius Toney back there. McKinnon ain't good to go. Now, you're not using Toney as a pass protector. Like that would worry me. But as far as, you know, wide receiver at the backfield, getting a couple carries, I think there's something there. I think there's a mini Debo to him. And I don't want to say mini Debo because they're just different type of players. Like, Debo's thick. Toney's lightning. Like, you use him in different ways, even though they're still lined up in the backfield and they both wear number 19 in red. Like, I wonder if you would use Toney in those instances of the handoffs and even just the pass catching.
I would love to see it. I'm still bullish on Toney. I know the health issues are maddening to a large part of the fan base, and I get it. But, you know, his playmaking ability is still it's better than Rice. It's better than really anyone else on the team in terms of, do I want the ball in his hands when he's in stride versus anyone else? Forget about it. I love him. But you know, also is he
going to be healthy?
right. That's the thing. Let's go to just a couple comments here just to see what they're saying. Angry Jerk and German, break glass in case of emergency. Toney will get his 10 touches in the divisional round. I'm there for it. McKinnon is an irreplaceable blocker. He's an animal. That is a facet that is not talked about enough. And I think you're right there. Stacy says, not worried about McKinnon at all at this stage because Pacheco's proving he can catch and pass block a bit. I hope that continues. So yeah, we'll see how this goes. Toney will break in half within the first 5 carries. I hate it for that kid. I hate it for that kid because he's a good kid. In that way.
You know, you're getting older when you go, he's a good kid.
Oh, that's true.
That's a good kid right there.
Look at me. I'm like, I'm basically dead. Yeah.
I still have no idea how old you are. That's the best ongoing bit that we've
really
ever
don't
had.
Know. I've no, told you before.
You did, but we were a couple of adult beverages deep, and I still couldn't tell if you were bleeping with me or not.
Love it. I'm not.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
I'm telling you. Let's talk. Not enough press has been given to, surprisingly, I'm going to say this, because an overwhelming drowning in the press has happened until now. All we've heard all year long is about Travis Kelce, and you know, for obvious reasons. But Travis Kelce, for his performance against the Raiders, suddenly it was like all about Rashee Rice and even Pacheco. How heartened were you by what you saw from Travis on Sunday?
Very heartened. My heart grew 3 sizes that day.
Like Celine Dion. Your heart went on.
Yeah. I was, because you mentioned he was bracketed a lot in that game, and then he still found ways to get open. And the Chiefs, for their credit, what did they do? They put him and Travis Kelce lined up on the same side together, and at times Travis on the outside and Rashee on the inside. They started trying to do that to give matchups for Travis Kelce. They found a way to try and stop the brackets.
Yeah.
That was really interesting. So again, the schematic game plan from Kansas City, I thought, was impressive. If that's going to continue, you put Rashee and Travis on the same side, and that's going to be a problem for other teams. I think that's as big as anything, is they're finding ways with Travis Kelce getting bracketed as much as he has, the hits he's taken, just the age and injuries. You got to find a way to keep him fresh. He's still on pace to go over a K, and we're acting like this dude is done. Like, I'm not saying we're acting like he's done, but like folks are acting like, oh man, he's falling off. It's like, he's still the best tight end in football, and he's going to go over a K. Like, he's still damn good. I think that was as big as anything, though, was the schematic game plan that Kansas City came out with.
Yeah. Love seeing him get to 11,000 yards. And doing so like 40 something games before Tony did it. Just an amazing, amazing career, amazing performance for a guy who really owned a lot of the blame. Travis kept saying in the last couple weeks, look, I'm not focused like I should be. I'm not practicing like I should be. I'm not ready like I should be. He has owned that, his part of it, and then showed up big in the game against the Raiders and was a big part of that comeback. We don't have to touch on this because you and I have batted this back and forth before. However, I want to say it was a short, small sample size. It was a movie preview right before the feature film. I get it. But when Donovan Smith had to leave the game and sit down because of a stinger, and he ends up coming back in, and that was fine. But there was the penalties were there again. And when I saw Wanya Morris rise up, when I heard the choir of angels begin to sing, when I saw the lights shine down upon thee, and when I saw him enter the game, he had a couple cool, he had some great blocks there. I mean, it's so small sample size, it's so dumb to pull anything from it. And yet, I thought, when I was seeing those penalties, especially on Smith, I thought, certainly Wanya could do this. Certainly Wanya Morris could do this. You got to be kidding me.
She talks to angels. That's you. Dude. You're just singing Black Crows whenever you hear Wanya Morris's name.
Hey, little thing, Wanya lights my candle because mama, he's sure hard to handle now. Yes, he is. Do you finally agree with me that Wanya should be out there, or are you still Team Donovan?
I'm Team Donovan for now. Again, I told you I love Wanya Morris. I told you that was my favorite draft pick. You're giving me such a hard time. Yeah, he looked great in five snaps. I get great's obviously a very strong word. He looked good in five snaps. He looked fine in five snaps. He didn't have a penalty or a sack or pressure.
We didn't notice him for five snaps, which is good.
I noticed him the first play. First play was nice. He was amped up because he blocked until the echo of the whistle and then the echo of the echo of the whistle. That dude was not going to give up. He was amped. But I do think sometimes you stick with the devil you know instead of the devil you don't, and you can win with Donovan Smith at left tackle. And that's to me what it comes down to. You can win with Donovan Smith there at left tackle. He's not been atrocious. He's been serviceable. The penalties are an issue, 100%, but he's been serviceable. I don't know if you want to throw a rookie in who might have a chance of making a rookie mistake. That's what it comes down to for me. Donovan Smith, you know what he is. You know what he can do and what he can't do. Wanya, he could probably do a lot of things better, but he might do some things worse, and we just don't quite know that yet, and you won't know until you get him into game action. Mahomes understands what Donovan's going to do. Joe Tooney understands, and Andy Reid knows that if he needs help with this guy, he can chip, he can block, he can throw someone else out there. You just don't know with Wanya. That's my concern. I talked to Tim Grunhardt about this actually yesterday on Monday. I asked this question just for you. I said, what would you do? Would you want to see some Wanya Morris as the season goes on, maybe a drive here or there? And he said, I don't know if you want to do it. I don't think you want to. I'm paraphrasing him here, but it was along the lines of, I don't think you want to do it in the middle of this season, this late in the season, especially with a veteran. Like, you know, I'm not saying you're going to ruffle some feathers because obviously Donovan knows he's not the future here, but just for a multitude of reasons, he just goes, you stick with it. You can win with Donovan and you know his limitations. That right there is enough. And you've won with him. Stick with him.
I understand that. I've already made my point on previous episodes that I think it behooves the Chiefs to figure out what they have in Wanya as much as possible entering another offseason. But I was happy for him just to see him out there. Let's not forget, though, Prince Tega Winogo actually outplayed Niang and Morris out of the preseason to be the swing tackle. Mm-hmm. So I'm also curious what he would bring.
Did you buy that jersey?
I have that jersey down here, over here. Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah. I wore it on a previous episode, but my cat is sleeping on it right now. So, yeah,
that's what my dog's sleeping on my lap right now. He went from being feisty because he was fussy, of course, to now he wants to be on my lap. So,
well, we were talking about the Raiders. So
yeah, he was all angry. He was angry.
Yeah.
He literally came out with a knife and tried to come at me. And I'm like, whoa, bro.
He's probably like snarls, just like rabies. And I don't know. We had to stop talking about the Raiders. Snarls Barkley. I love it. I love it. Any other fleeting thoughts from the Raiders game for you?
I think my big overarching takeaway again goes back to the coaching. It goes back to adjustments made. Again, I understand the Raiders are not a great team, but the Chiefs' adjustments is what really it gives me optimism going forward, not just offensively, but defensively as well. That's the first time they really got punched in the mouth. Like, they've been so good all season long. They've not had to adjust. It's been other teams trying to adjust to them. And what happened? Scored 14. Field goal was it in the second half. Devontae Adams, 0 catches for 0 yards in the second half. That, to me, was my biggest takeaway, was offense and defense both adjusting. While throughout the first 11 games of the season, what was it? Chiefs get up to a lead, and either they give it up or they struggle to keep it, right? That's been kind of the game plan so far. This was different. I like to see it.
Man. Speaking of defense, just before you and I went on the air, the Chiefs elevated a cornerback. They elevated Echo from the practice squad I'm assuming for this weekend. What do you think of the addition there? Do you think there's going to be any real playing time at all?
I doubt there's a lot of PT available for him. It's a little interesting. I don't know your thoughts. I'm a little perplexed why they elevated him, but Echo Boydo, cornerback, played at K-State, little slender build, was very, very good in preseason and OTAs, training camp. He got the ability to play, actually, in the preseason. They signed him just for that. Like, he was undrafted guy, didn't expect much, and, I mean, he has taken off just based on what I saw. Again, he's not the he's not like super short, but he's very slender. Like, if you look at him sideways, it's a piece of paper. He's skinny, but he's not afraid to tackle. Like, we saw that, right? We saw that. I still remember him in the training camp or in the preseason taking down wide receiver. I'm like, wow, there's some heart there. He stuck with the guys. I was impressed by him, by Echo Boydo, and I wonder if that carries over. Obviously, preseason is very different from the regular season. You know, a lot of times he was going up against wide receiver twos and threes. We'll see how that translates to now. It also remains to be seen how much PT he would get. But I was impressed by him.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. The timing's interesting to me because it's not right before the game. It's not like we've been through a week of injuries to see what's up. It makes me wonder what injuries we'll see. As they begin to practice, or is there something else happening roster wise that did another team try to claim him off of the practice squad and they have to protect him now? That'll be interesting to me. So
good question.
We'll keep our eye out for either rumors that someone was interested or that we'll look at the first injury report on Wednesday's practice. We'll hear from the team there.
Because I'm looking at the cornerback breakdown right here. You know, obviously Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson, they're going to be, I think, safe. Jalen Watson played 25 snaps. Joshua Williams played 10. But again, I think Joshua Williams' physicality brings something a little different. He also played 77% on special teams. Nick Jones, the rookie seventh rounder, he played 14 snaps on special teams, none in the game. I don't know if that's just a little switch up there. That's the only name I can possibly think about that would have any sort of got to watch out. But even that, I would be surprised. So I think you're more in the camp of the right camp, if you will, if maybe someone tried to claim him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I would think. If you like his long-term potential, the Chiefs are going to have the best read on what they have there. So, yeah, that just made me curious. By the way, I was chatting with our writers in our writers' room for Arrowhead Addict. We all use kind of the same chat program, and we're talking. And one of them said, how about a turnaround for Dave Tope? And I was like, man, you know, I hadn't thought about that. Like, we've kind of piled it on. But Harrison Butker is having a perfect season. Tommy Townsend is again putting up the sort of numbers that, like, he was an all-pro last year. And then guess who's, like, stopped fielding punts? Like, there's been some changes there.
Richie.
Do we need to give Dave Tobe some credit for, hey, there's like, we've cleaned up some mistakes back there.
Yeah, I think you do. Again, this has been a show of when dudes play poorly, we're going to criticize. And when dudes play well, we're going to give them their flowers. And I think Dave Tobe deserves a lot of credit. Like I do. Everyone who's ever played under Dave Tobe or has been in the NFL always says how great of a head coach or how great of a special teams coach he is, right? Everyone's going to go through stretches where they have question marks. He's been good. He's been real good. And I do think Richie James has been a helpful addition back there, a veteran punt returner. You know, he's not making some rookie mistakes. He catches the rock. The one he didn't was pre-injury when he got the ball lost in the sun in Jacksonville. And that was literally just because it was lost in the sun. It wasn't a case. He didn't know. That was different, I think, in my opinion. So, yeah, I do think he needs some credit, in my opinion. And by the way, that first quarter, I kept thinking that reminds me of 2012 with the quick kick with the punt. And you're just like, punt on third down. Just do it. Just Tommy Townsend was the only good thing in the first quarter. I'm like, there we go.
I know. It's so bad. It's so bad. But by the way, Pro Bowl voting just opened. How many Chiefs do you think, like, without being a homer?
Yeah.
How many Chiefs do you think deserve to be there?
Well, will it matter because the Chiefs will be playing in the Super Bowl?
You know, who officially voted in. Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, good. Let's go through some names together, Connor. Let's say in or out, okay?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. First one. Starting special teams, give him the props. Let's start with Harrison Butker, who's been perfect.
Yeah, he's in. He's in for sure.
I think Butker's in. As great as Justin Tucker is, he ain't been as good as Butker this year. I'm going
Butker. Can't have a perfect – you can't be perfect and not make it. I just don't see it.
So I think Butker, Tommy Townsend, yay or nay?
Would people really give both specialists to the Chiefs as good as they are?
I don't think so. I'm going to say no for – Towns, and not saying he's not deserving, but
that's exactly what I'm thinking. Not that he's not deserving, but you're not gonna. I don't know. It just, yeah.
Okay, let's
agree there.
No wide receivers. Travis Kelce, yes. Travis Kelce's still getting in.
Yep, he's in. He's in.
Offensive line. I think you get in. Creed Humphrey.
I think Tooney's in.
I think Tooney's in as well. I think Creed Humphrey for sure, although I will give a shout out to Lloyd Cushenberry III for Denver. He's been very good, but I'm still going Creed Humphrey.
I want Humphrey there because yes. I love
and,
Creed
Humphrey. And he's Humphrey. The best in the NFL. Let's be real. Okay. I'm going Humphrey and I'm going to go Joe Tooney. So we're at three, right? No, four, Travis Kelce.
Yep.
Mahomes.
Is Mahomes getting?
Mahomes, because he's Pro Bowl, not All Pro. So Mahomes for sure is getting in. I think he would get All Pro either way, but I think for sure Mahomes is in. So that's five.
Five. Okay.
Pacheco's not getting in. I like Pacheco. He's not getting in.
Let's go defense.
Noah Gray's not getting in. All right. Chris Jones.
I think he's in. Absolutely in.
As much as I want to say Karloftis, I don't think he gets it this year. I think when you're young, you have to really put up huge numbers before you get your name out there. And then you would go, oh yeah, I remember him. He, even if the numbers aren't quite as good, we're trying to use some.
Dude, you're in the same conference as TJ Watt, Miles Garrett. It's just not happening.
Yeah. All right. So that's it on the defensive line, correct?
Yep. Yep.
Linebacker.
As good as they've played, there's not one guy that you would go, oh yeah, he get rid of Micah Parsons and put in that guy. You're not doing that.
Bolton's been hurt, so that's going to hurt him because he's the biggest name of the group.
He's the biggest name. Willie Gay Jr.'s had a great year.
Willie Gay Jr.'s had an incredible year, and I feel bad because I think he's going to be snubbed. I think Willie Gay Jr. this year deserves it, but I don't think he's going to get it. And that's going to be a bummer for me. And then cornerback and secondary in general, I think you're looking at.
Now, here's interesting.
McDuffie for sure. McDuffie. I don't think there's a question about it.
I hope so. He's only in his second year. And this is his first full year because he missed half his rookie year with a hamstring injury, 7 games. But he has, in prime time, had every national pundit talking about his greatness. So that normal acceleration of just like needing time to become the talking point, McDuffie has fully taken advantage of playing for a team that's always in the spotlight.
Yes, and he's always been good in the spotlight.
Yes.
And I think Snead gets in this year. I think he finally gets the nod. He's been so good, and they've been starting to talk more about him nationally.
Yeah.
Which sucks for the Chiefs in contract negotiations, but it's great for Legarius and his proposition of being a Pro Bowl this year.
Chiefs have two Pro Bowl corners. Agreed?
Agreed.
Amazing. I mean, I agree. I think he deserves it. I think McDuffie deserves it. I think they're both outstanding. It's kind of crazy, though, that the Chiefs have our producer Sean said Snead held AJ Brown, who's an Eagles fan, by the way, our producer tonight, Sean, filling in for Richard, says he held AJ Brown to one catch in prime time. Put him in. Agreed, Sean. Thanks for that. I hope that both those guys make it. So how many does that give us?
2-3 defensively, 1 special teams. Travis and Mahomes is 6, and then 2 offensive. That's 8. I don't know if the Chiefs get 8.
That's 8, and we even left off Tommy Townsend just because we didn't think they'd get that many.
Yeah.
So we actually think 9 should make it. We scaled it back to 8 to be more realistic.
And I see, and then, Leo Chenal has been incredible this year. I love watching him play, but I would be shocked if Leo got the nod.
Chanel's been good, but let's be honest. You NFL players, coaches, fans, whoever, you're going to have 50 names before Leo Chanel. You'd have Drew Tranquil and Willie Gay on there before Leo Chanel. So
I think so too.
Yeah. That makes me question both corners.
Sauce Gardner's getting in.
Yep. I also don't know about Creed.
Oh, bleep you, man.
I'm all in on Creed.
Well, how many centers do you keep on the Pro Bowl? You get like 3.
Oh, I thought you just had the one spot.
Don't you have like 2 or 3? Because they take multiple quarterbacks. Mitch Trubisky was a Pro Bowl quarterback. He ain't QB1.
True. Let's hope so. But Lucas says, I think Snead's penalties may hurt his case, unfortunately, though I hope that I'm wrong. It could be right. I mean, Pro Bowl voting this year will be very, very interesting. Some holdovers are automatic that the Chiefs will benefit from, but also some new guys are really going to have to push their way in. So, yeah. Anyway, we have 8. We're sticking with 8. I like it.
If we don't get 8, we're throwing hands with anyone who voted not for Chiefs people. We're doing it. We're going to find them.
Chiefs again says, I didn't know McDuffie was that good. Jesus Christ. Man, if you don't know McDuffie at this point could look at Chris Jones across the room and go, there's at least a conversation about which one of us is more important to this defense.
At least a conversation. Yeah. It's now like we're peers.
Yeah. 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 I mean, Chris Jones is still the cornerstone. I'm not saying otherwise, but I'm saying there's another face in the room that now goes, yeah, the whole league should know me and the whole league should fear me. Yeah. And you just happen to be another guy that's true about too. So yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, anyway, look, we've come to the end of another episode. Folks, you've been hanging around with us. Of course, we so appreciate you guys doing so. And if you've been with us, you know that when we get to the end of the episode, we do a thing called the must list. That's the point where Sterling and myself and our producer recommend something. I didn't ask Sean. So, Sean, from Philly, you're on the spot. Do you want to join us for this, or is this a no-go for you? He says, give me a minute.
Give me a minute.
Private chat. What are you talking about, Sean?
Let me think.
What kind of a weird out is this? This isn't this is like your big moment, your shining star. You like
With one shining moment, you reach for the stars.
There he is, folks. Welcome, Sean. Good to see you, man.
What's up, guys?
A little Christmassy in the background. I like it.
Yeah, it's feeling warm in the daily household.
Yeah, nice. Sean, what we do is we all recommend something. It's just random. Anything you've read, watched, listened to. It could be peanut butter and jelly, like anything that you're into lately. Since we put you on the spot, we might as well keep you there. Let's start with you, Sean. Do you have something you what are you recommending? And you're a guest, you get to address our listeners, viewers for the first time. What do you want to leave us with?
I'm gonna add to the must list a real Christmas tree. I've been going back and forth on fake tree, real tree. And my wife convinced me to get a real tree again this year. And honestly, the house smells nice. It feels right. It looks nice. So I would just say a real Christmas tree I'm putting on here.
Wait, what? So what's the bonus? I've never in my life, in all the 17 years I've been alive, I've never had a real tree ever. I'm all artificial. Like everything else about me.
Why do you hate Christmas? Why?
Well, so that's what.
Why do you hate kids?
Because I think, well, gosh, isn't that just super dirty? I hate getting dirty. Why would I get dirty?
The sap gets all over you, and then you smell delicious.
It's minimally dirty. It's like there's a little bit of pines on the ground. I think it's also about like the experience of going out, and we were even allowed to chop it down at the one Christmas tree farm. So like. I don't know. You make a day out of it. Bring the dog. I don't know. It smells nice. I think the positives probably outweigh the negatives.
Okay. You nailed it, Sean. You nailed it.
Is it by the way, is it high maintenance? Like, do you have to like water it and feed
yes.
it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You have to water. I think on the downside of it, I think it becomes a fire hazard if you don't water. So that is the negative.
Yeah, Steve just posted fire trap. Don't do it. Tree ends up everywhere. Needles. Nah.
There you go. Steve is my spirit animal in the comments. That's good. No, that's good, Sean. I think a lot of people would agree with you. What do you think, Sterling? What's your must list for this week?
A real Christmas tree. That's also mine. I'm going to double down. No, I'm going the Number of the Beast album by Iron Maiden, 1982, glorious album, first album with Bruce Dickinson as the singer, right? Was it Paul DiNico? He was out for the first two albums. Bruce Dickinson, enter him. Also the final album with drummer Clive Burr. But this is a really good album from top to bottom. Obviously, everything about it is just a masterpiece. It's just an absolute masterpiece. You know it's good when Dream Theater does an entire cover of the album in 2002. Little fun fact for you there. Dream Theater did an entire live cover of that. Yeah, they do it on their shows. So I'm going with that. That's what I'm rocking with.
Sean, are you an Iron Maiden guy?
I'm not, but I trust Sterling's taste.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know if you don't have to trust his taste. Yeah. He has good taste, but yeah.
What, do you not like Iron Maiden? Are you kidding me?
No, look, man, I'm a stranger in a strange land. I get you. I'm just saying, you know. By the way, do your best Bruce Dickinson.
I was about to say, hallowed be thy name. I was about to sing it, and
sing it. Let's hear it.
Dude, I can't do it.
Dude, I've been talking with this voice the whole show. You can do Bruce Dickinson.
I shit you not, I can't. This might blow out people's speakers.
Do it from far away.
I can't.
Just give us something.
I can't sing that high.
You can. You just don't want to. Do it.
Hallowed be thy name. That's all we got. That's as high as I can go. I can't go any higher.
I like it. I like it.
By the way, Conway Liddy had a good point here. 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying. I talk about this all the time. That is my favorite rap album. It is perfection from top to bottom. So good.
It is? That's your favorite rap album?
I think so, yeah. I think if I had to say one, really good. It's up there. The Chronic, obviously, by Dr. Dre is up there as well. But
yeah, but man, like Public Enemy, it takes a nation of millions to hold us back. Or
For me, though, I was 9, I believe, when Get Rich or Die Tryin' came out. And that was a huge, huge thing for me when I was wearing my Sharif Abdul-Rahim jersey, listening to that and thinking, wow, this speaks to me.
Well, yeah. I didn't even think like Good Kid, Mad City.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I mean, I don't know. We should have a whole conversation about
that. We could, dude.
I don't know.
Real Slim Shady, Marshall Mathers LP. Those two got to be in the equation.
I don't know. We got a lot there.
The Carter 3, the Carter 4. I mean, sheesh.
We'll see. My must list for this week, I'll – I don't know. I really didn't know what to recommend this week because I've been out of town and then sick. But then I called. You know what I'm not recommending? Parades. Parades of millions of people. I'm recommending not to go to New York during Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. That's my must list this week. I'm helping all the people avoid all the sickness. There you go.
You can.
That's a horrible way to end the show, isn't it? Like with a don't do this. Who cares? Folks, if you've been listening, you're with our buddy Sean, filling in for Richard. I don't know if Richard's sick or not, but we wish him well wherever he's at. My name is Matt Connor. I'm with Sterling Holmes here. He is with his puppy Bailey. And I've got my cat Murph on the floor for all four of us, furry or not, mustachioed or not. We wish you the best of the beginning of this holiday season. And as always, thanks for listening and hanging out with us. We'll be here later on tomorrow. Adam Best, I'll be here with Sterling for Wacky Wednesday, Patrick Allen on Thursday. We got a whole slate for you before the Chiefs take on the Green Bay Packers on Sunday. So until then, go Chiefs.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.